रामाय रामभद्राय रामचंद्राय वेदसे रघुनाथाय नाथाय सीताय पतये नमः. अरण्यकांड चैप्टर नंबर 25 राम एंड द राक्षसास. द रेसिटेशन बिगिंस नाउ. Khara and his hosts approached the hermitage and beheld Rama as he stood there, bow in hand, in his all-consuming wrath. Khara deemed it but child's work for him to conquer the man and ordered his charioteer to drive him to the spot. His ministers and warriors followed him with deafening war cries to where stood Raghuvira, idly fingering his bow, and like the fiery Mars looked he in the midst of the constellations. Next, Khara shot a stream of arrows at Rama and roared like a lion. The Rakshasas were beside themselves with anger and directed a dark cloud, seemingly endless, of huge maces, broad swords, tridents, javelins, and battle axes on Rama, all unknowing that his terrible bow was but the noose of Yama that was tightening around their necks and dragging them helpless to the darkest and deepest hells. From the backs of mountainous elephants, fleet horses, and gorgeous chariots, they rained a ceaseless torrent of arrows on Rama with deadly intent, like huge clouds advancing upon the sun with thunder and lightning. But not one of those missiles reached the solitary foe, like raindrops shattering themselves to death on the black, merciless rocks. As the calm waves of the ocean stay the rushing waters of the rivers gently yet firmly, Rama kept back their arrowy torrents with his keen-edged arrows and consumed them to nothing. Shot at and riven in every part of his body by those weapons of his foes, like a lofty mountain riven with the flaming shots of Indra, Raghuvira felt not the slightest distress. Covered with wounds and bleeding from every pore, he shone like the evening sun, hemmed in by the cloud banks, whereat the devas and rishis lost heart. The next moment, Rama blazed with wrath, drew his terrible bow almost to a circle, and dispatched thousands of feathered shafts at the foe. They were irresistible, unbearable. They fell on the Rakshasa host like the rod of death and drew to his hall the lives of those wicked demons like the bonds of fate. They clove the hearts of the cannibals and, dripping with gore, rose aloft in the skies like tongues of fire. From out the bow of Rama they sprang into view by thousands, lakhs and crores, vomiting dreadful flames which the lives of the Rakshasas fanned to a white heat. They had to be quick indeed to dispatch to the abode of Yama bows, banners, armors, heads, arms, hugest trunk of the elephants and graced with priceless gem and gold, thighs, horses, yoked chariots glittering with precious stones, charioteers, cars, elephants, horses and the drivers and foot soldiers to keep them company. Hacked to pieces by the Nalikas, Vikarmis and the other varieties of arrow, the Rakshasas howled most fearfully. Pierced to the heart with keen shafts, the Rakshasa host was sorely afflicted like a dry and withered forest at the touch of the god of fire. But some of them, of frightful strength and valor, fought their way to Rama and hurled at him their trident swords, axes and other weapons. Raghava shattered them to pieces with his arrows and shore off their hideous heads. They fell to the earth with shattered crowns, broken corselets and bows, like huge trees uprooted by the gales arising from the wings of Garuda. Those that remained were terror-struck at the sight and sought refuge with Khara, their lord. Then Dushan calmed their fears, rallied them and came upon Ramachandra, even as a grim god of death ran at of yore the wielder of Pinaka. They drew fresh courage and hope from Dushan and bore down upon Rama, discharging a continuous downpour of huge trees, arrows, rocks, tridents, rods, and bars of steel and iron. Verily, a fearful sight it was, and wonderful, that fight between the lone warrior and the countless hosts of Rakshasas that hemmed him on all sides. Nearer and yet nearer they drew with fire-flashing eyes, and preceded by the cruel messengers of death and destruction. Beholding which, Rama gave a shout that shook the worlds above and below, and fitted a Gandharva Astra to his bow that shone like the sun, for he had decided to wipe them off the face of the earth. At once from out of the circled bow there sprang arrows countless and hit the earth and sky and the quarters. The Rakshasas were pierced through and through and could never even see when Rama took out his arrows or set them or shot them. The supreme misery was enough and more to occupy their attention. The pall of utter darkness wiped off from view the sky, the sun, and the quarters. Alone Rama stood revealed every time the deadly shafts left the bow with lightning radiance. There was no interval, not the slightest, between their fall, the outrush of the life breaths, and the toppling down of the mutilated corpses. At one and the same moment, the Rakshasas were hurled on the earth, transfixed each and every one of them. Some were sore wounded, some struck the earth like thunderclaps. As they fell, some hovered between life and death. Some were clean cut in two, some were chopped into mincemeat. Some were torn to ribbons, and so that arrowy slit from Raghava's bow scattered all over that dread field of battle in horrible and fantastic groupings, turbaned heads, uncovered poles, gaily adorned hands, double-jointed thighs, stout legs, elephants, horses, chariots, charmers, cloud-like umbrellas, fans, banners, tridents, broad swords, spears, battle axes, and huge pieces of rock. Who can ever dare to describe in poor words the might of Rama's arrows? Mangalam Kaushalendraya Mahaniya Gunapte Chakravarti Dhanurjaya Sarva Bhaumaya Mangalam.